Today's daf from Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Gimel. We're holding on the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Chof Beis Amud Beis, but I said that I would review the Mishnah briefly just so we can get back into it. So let's just run over that Mishnah one more time. Shavuah Shelo Ochal. He just said he's not going to eat, but he ate and he drank, but he's only chayev one. If he said, I won't eat and I won't drink, and he ate and he drank, then he's chayef too. If he says, Shavua shlo ochal, and he eats all kinds of different breads, he eats wheat bread and spelt bread and barley bread, he's only going to be chayef, el chayef ala achas. But if he specifies a shvua that I'm not going to eat wheat bread and barley bread and spelt bread, and then he eats them all, chayef akol achat ve'achat. How about if he says Shavua Shelo Eshter, and he ends up drinking all kinds of different things, beer and wine and milk and honey, inochayev elachat. But if he specifies Shavua Shelo Eshter, not wine and not oil and not honey, whatever, and then he is Shoter, then he would be chayev because of the specification on each one individually. How about if he says Shavua Shelo Ochal, and he eats things that are inedible, or he drinks different types of liquids that are not really edible, potable. Shato Mashkin, generally in the Shtia, he's potter. If he says Shavua Shelo Ochal, and then he eats Nevelot, V'trefot, Shkatzim, V'rimasim, then he's Chayav. The Gemara will ask, what's the difference between those two cases? Rabbi Shimon is potter. I'm sorry, did I skip there, right? Yeah, I skipped. Shavua shelo ochal, v'achal nevelot, v'trefot, v'shkatzim, v'rimasim. He's chayev, and Rabbi Shimon paters. Yeah, sorry, that's right. Omer kodem ishti ne'netli, imachalte ayom. He says, if I ate anything today, then my wife is asura ba'ana'ah from me. And it turns out that he had eaten nevelot, trefot, shkatzim, v'rimasim. So then he ate, and therefore his wife would be Asura. All of this to be discussed now today. Om Reb Chiya Bar Ravina Amar Shmua. Shmua shelo ochal vishata chayav. If all he did was say a shvua he's not going to eat, and he ends up drinking, then he would be chayav, because that is included in his shvua not to eat. Where do we see that? I mean, how do we know such a thing? Well, first of all, you could say, look, it's just reasonable. And what you want, you can make it dependent on an actual pasuk. Because, look, let's take a look at how language is used for people. So when people make a statement about eating, they always include in it drinking. For instance, somebody says to you, let's go and have a bite. You know, and then you go and you sit down and you have some coffee with some cake, you know. I mean, so have a bite obviously includes, I mean, the guy's going to look at you, you're crazy. What do you mean have a bite? I mean, where's the coffee, right? So, okay, so that means that you took for granted that you're going to have some coffee with it. So that means that's the way that the language is used. Mi bite dem akra, or you could say, look, it's also a pasuk that shtia is included in achila. Where do we see this? The omer resh lakish b'nayin l'shtia shibichlal achila, shenemar, v'achalta lefnei Hashem lokecha b'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham, ma'asar degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. Now, what is exactly tiroshcha? What is that? That is wine. Well, last I heard, wine is liquid. And it says, over here, v'achalta. So obviously the Torah considers drinking liquid wine to be an achila. Says the Gemara, but not necessarily. There is a way to eat wine. Huh? Yeah. Dilma yadei anigaron. So maybe what you do over here is you eat those kind of drinks that have wine in them, but they're like these health drinks, you know, either like borscht. So a simple anigaron is maya de silki. And then there's oxigron, which is maya de kula shilki, it should say. Those are other type of vegetable stews, and they're mixed with wine. And that's basically like a thick kind of porridge, soup kind of thing. And therefore, you ought to be chayev on it because of wine. But it's eating, so the Torah would call it eating. Elamer vacha by Yaakov. Okay, I'll bring another raya that the Torah calls wine eating. Because it also says, "V'natata hakesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha ba'bakar uva tzon uva yayin uva shechar." So we see over there that when you're going to go and buy something with the money that you had after you were paid to your Meisershani, and now you have it in cash. So what do you do with that cash? Well, you buy whatever you want, you know. Bakar Tzon, note, Yayin Vishecha, right? And what does it say after that? It says after that, what do you do with it? It says to eat it. And it says V'achalta. Right after that, it says, then you should eat it. So that means you should enjoy it, but it's wine. Yeah, I understand. Does that prove anything? I mean, here I already told you, you can eat wine. So maybe that's what it means. You eat the wine by putting it into borscht, you know, anigronon. No, here you can't say that. You see, because in this pasuk, it says yayin with shechar together. Now, yayin with shechar when it's put together means that the yayin has to be something that is mishaker. Now, once you mix wine with borscht, it's not mishaker anymore. And therefore, that can't be the case. The Torah is telling you to eat it as borscht. It's telling you to eat it, drink it as wine. And it's calling it eating it. Whoa, wait. Maybe the yayin is one thing and the shechar is another thing. And what that would mean is that if you can identify a plant that is mishaker, so then that would be what it's calling eating. So v'dilma dvela ki ilit. So what it refers to over here is actually a certain type of, the elephants know about this, as you know in South Africa, drunk elephants. So they're always eating dvela ki ilit, which are essentially fermented figs, you know, and other fruits. And it says, b'feresh in the braita, if a kohen eats dvela ki ilit, or he drinks dvash and chalav, and now it really gets him high. So he's got this sugar intoxication, or he's intoxicated from the alcohol of the dvela ki ilit. That is nichlas l'mikdash v'avad, he's chayev. But how do you know that shechar refers to a drink? So in other words, maybe there's the yayin, which is the anigron. Then the Torah is adding also, or you could buy shechar, meaning dvela ki ilit. But dvela ki ilit is a fruit. It's pressed figs. So where do you see that something that is a liquid is called eating? You still haven't proved it. It can't mean dvela ki ilit, because the Torah uses the same lotion of shechar by a nazir. Now, when it says it by a nazir, we know all of it. Miyayin v'shechar, yazir. So what's yayin v'shechar? We know that all of these surim of nazir are only in terms of the yayin, as it spells out in the pasuk. It's always going to be megefen yayin or anything associated with wine. Nobody's going to think for a minute that a nazir is also in dvela ki ilit. A nazir is not auser in intoxication. A nazir is auser specifically yazir atzbo min hayayin, right? So just like over there, when the Torah uses the word shechar, it means wine that is shechar. So afkan, yayin, so by meiser, the money of meiser sheni, when it says the yayin v'shechar, it meant wine that is mishaker, and therefore it does not include borscht with wine in it. Omar Rava, afanan amitanina, shavua shalo ochal, l'chora, it's not what the Mishnah says. I mean, the Mishnah starts off by saying, a guy only said shavua shalo ochal, and he ate and he drank, both v'ochal v'shata. So he's only chayev one shavua. Now, if you're going to admit that I'm right in saying that shtia is included in achila, so that would be why Yitzchak HaTana Lashmina Deno Chayev El Achat. Point over here is that since actually shtia is a type of achila, so then we need to understand that even though he was over on his shavua in two completely different ways, he was over on his shvua through eating, and he was over on his shvua through drinking. So then I understand that there's a chiddush involved in the Mishnah saying that if he ate and he drank, then he's only chayav once. But if you're going to tell me that shtia is not midiraisa considered to be achila, so I don't understand. So why are you telling me that if he ate and he drank, he's only chayav one? I mean, you might as well tell me. And if he ate and he drove his car to the post office, he's only chayav one. I mean, what does drinking have to do with anything, right? So if you're going to tell me that shtia is not included in achila, a guy says, I won't eat. So he ate and he dug up his garden. So you now need to tell me in the Mishnah, well, if he ate and he dug up his garden, he's only chayav one. I mean, that's crazy. So obviously the Mishnah is based on an understanding that you might think that he was chayav twice because he was over b'diraisa in two different ways, and maybe each way is considered to be a different shvua, kamashma, that it's not. But certainly it can't be something off the wall where that nobody would ever think you're chayav for digging up your garden. Omalei Abaya, I don't understand. You're saying that that's how you look at the Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah can't understand that. If you're going to tell me that Shtia is included in Achila, so then how do you understand the case in the Mishnah that says, Shvua shelo ochal v'shelo eshte? So if you're the guy who said two different things. Now, you're claiming that that second part was actually already included in the first part, right? Because you say, Shvua shelo ochal included the Shtia. And over here, it says, if he ate and he drank, he's chayev twice. What do you mean he's chayev twice? The first shvua that said I won't eat, according to you, already included that I will not drink. So now when he says another shvua, I will not drink, he's making a shvua on something that was already usher with a shvua. Remember, you can't do that, because there's no such thing as a shvua being chal on a shvua. Ain't shvua chal al shvua. So therefore, your very assumption cannot work in this Mishnah. Now, let's see that inside. How could you say that it's chayev shtayim if, according to you, drinking is included in eating? So the moment he says, I won't eat, so now he already is usher to drink. Now he's making a shvua, I won't drink. But he was already usher in drinking. So why would he be chayev for this shvua? Ilu Omar, let's say he would have said, I won't drink two times in a row. How many times would he be chayev? Once. But that's essentially what happened over here. By saying, I won't eat, he said, I won't drink. Now he repeats himself, I won't drink again. Ein shvua chal al shvua. And therefore, the Mishnah makes no sense. The Mishnah is saying you will be chayav twice. Well, says Rava, I'll tell you how I understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah over there is a little bit inverted, you know. What it should have said is, Omar lo eshte v'lo ochal, in that order. Right? So first he said, I won't drink. Then he said, I won't eat. Now drinking never included eating. Eating included drinking. So therefore, when he said, I won't drink, he was over only on the drinking. Now when he says, I won't eat, the shvua still chal on his eating because he wasn't ozer to eat. The shtia bechal achila. Yeah, but achila bechal shtia. I never heard of that. So therefore, you're chayev twice. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Oh, really now? So you're telling me that the only thing that makes it that he's chayev twice is the order that he said it in, right? So in other words, according to you, you really believe that if he first would have said shvua shelo ochal, and then he would have said shvua shelo eshte, and then ochal v'shata, so then you're claiming, well, in that case, he would only be chayev once. Why? Because ain shvua chal al shvua, and he already answered himself. No way, Jose. The Mishnah cannot be read that way. Why? Because if that's true, so then when you stated in the opening of the Mishnah, you said your big Kiddush, Shvua shelo ochal v'achal v'shata eino chayev ela achas. I mean, I have a much more powerful way to read that Mishnah than you just read it. What it should have said is, even if a guy said separately, Shvua shelo ochal, Shvua shelo eshteh, it would still only be chayev ela achas. What are you telling me? If you don't say shvua shelo ochal, you're missing this fantastic opportunity to teach all of that material by just pointing out that even if you would have said in the order of first lo eshteh, so I would have understood myself. Obviously, kol shekein, if the guy only said shelo ochal lechudei, so then of course he would only be chayev once. Even if he said twice, he was only chayev once. Ah, so therefore it's clear that the order in which you say it is irrelevant. Yeah. Alrighty. You're right. Le'olam kediktani. Yes, the Mishnah was written in the correct order, and afal pikein, even though I hold that shtiyaz b'chlal achila, this case is different. Why? Because you're right. If he had only said I won't eat, then I absolutely hold I won't eat includes I won't drink. But in this case, since he said I won't eat, and I won't drink. So therefore, it's clear that the way he's using the terminology of eating, so goli adaiti da'ach achila di'omar achila gredatahi. When he mentioned I won't eat, he really meant I won't eat specifically, not I won't drink. For Haraya, he speaks out that he won't drink, right? So therefore, in that case, of course it's true that he only made one shvua. Two separate shvuas, even though normally the achil would have included the shtia. In this case, it does not. Omer Vashi, you know what? Your proof from the Mishnah, that was no proof. But later, it is a proof, because take a look at the Diak of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, if a guy makes a shvua that I won't eat, and he eats things that are not really edible, and then it throws in, v'shata mashkin she'en ruli l'shtia. What is that business? Shata mashkin she'en ruli l'shtia, potter? So what are you saying? That if the mashkin would have been ruli l'shtia, then it would have been chayev. Why? He only said he's not going to eat. So you see that mashkin would be included and I'm not going to eat. I don't know. I mean, the Mishnah's not really focusing on what precisely he said. Maybe it's talking about he said beferish, I mean, it's just trying to bring out the relationship of the shvua to potability or to edibility. I mean, you can't really bring a raya from that. Okay. So then you said, Shvua shelo ochal, and he eats all these different things. He eats this wheat, bread made out of wheat, bread made out of barley, bread made out of spelt. So he's only chayv once, you said. But if he said, oh, I'm making a shvua that I won't eat wheat bread or barley bread or spelt bread, pot, 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 he mentions three times. In that case, he would be chayv three separate. Now, does that make sense? I understand. What's he supposed to say? The guy is trying to say three specific things he doesn't want to eat, right? So he's got like five different types of breads. He could be eating rye bread, you know, but he wants to eat rye bread. So he's making a shvua. You know what? I'm not going to eat wheat or spelt or barley anymore. Obviously, if he said I'm not going to eat bread at all, then he wouldn't be able to eat rye bread either. So what makes you think, what a crazy thing to say, that he's saying these three things because he's trying to make three separate shvuas. Does that make sense? He's simply telling you what he doesn't want to eat. I mean, what you want from the poor guy? No, I mean, if that's what he was thinking, then he would have just said, I'm not going to eat wheat, barley, or kusmit, right? No, wrong. Because if he would have said, I won't eat wheat, barley, or spelt, what would that have mean? I won't take a wheat seed, a kernel, and chew it. You know, because I'd have a tendency to do that. So I'm going to stop chewing on that kind of stuff and eat a little bit more healthy. I don't know. Nowadays, I think that's the most healthy, but okay. All right. You know what? He still should have said, I'm not going to eat bread made out of wheat, barley, or kusmit. What do you think about that? So since he didn't say that, instead, he says, bread made out of wheat, bread made out of... Okay, so sit here. What does he have to talk about? The pot, pot, pot? Because he is actually going to make separate shvuas. No, not true. Because if he would have said that, then the interpretation of his shvua could have been he won't eat bread made out of chitim, and he won't chew on barley and kusmim, on the actual kernels. And that's not what he has in mind. He has in mind not to eat bread made out of those three grains. So what's he supposed to do? So, Dioma Patritim Leachol. And we would think that he meant that Sa'urim Vekusmim are just to be chewing on them. Well, he still should have said, Patritim Vishel Sa'urim Vishel Kusmim. And that way he didn't have to say pat, pat, pat. The guy is going around pat-patting. So then, obviously, he wants to make separate shvuas. No, the guy's intelligent. If he would have said pat, chitim, the kusbim, the sorim, I would have thought that he's only doesn't like three-grain breads, right? Now, these are three-grain breads. So he meant, I won't eat ayadei tarovet. So, well, if that's what he's afraid of, then he could have said, this guy is a very careful speaker, let me tell you. So then he would have said, I won't eat pat chitim, and also of sorim, and also of kusmim. But why would he repeat? I won't eat bread made of wheat, bread made of barley, bread made of... I mean, that's a little bit overdone, don't you think? I mean, why does he say pat pat every time? Shmaminalachal leg. So therefore, what he means is to make three separate shivuot.
Now we have it down pat.
Well, I thought you were going to get at least into Pitatim or something like that.
Ah! That was done in the chat by somebody called iPhone.
Oh. Okay. All right. So let's take a look at the next case, because here it really doesn't make sense. The guy says, I'm not going to drink. Then no matter how many different things he drinks, he's only going to be chayav one thing. But if he says, I swear I'm not going to drink yayin, shemen, dvash, he's going to be chayav each one of them. I mean, like, what's he supposed to say over here? I don't understand. He only wants not to drink those three things, right? So here there's nothing he could say. In that case, Bishlamahatam, the first case, okay, that we just finished. So over there you say, well, Ardiak is from the fact that he's potting so much, right? What does he have to say? Pot so many times. Pot l'chiyuva. There's no extra word over here. If a guy wants to describe the things he doesn't want to drink, he has to tell you, I'm not going to drink wine, I'm not going to drink milk, I'm not going to drink honey, whatever it is, right? So, elahakam, I have a leila memar. What is it that you want him to say? Maybe he just wants to make it clear that any other liquids are fine by him except for these three. So, dimal mifta nafshimi mashkin akhrini ka'ati. Rav Papa, you're absolutely right. There has to be some contextual thing that is making us believe that this is extra. So I'll tell you what the case is. The case could be he's got a table in front of him. There are those particular three beverages, right? Now, he doesn't want to drink those beverages. All he needed to say is, I ain't going to drink any of this. So that since he starts spelling it out like that, it must be that he wants to make a separate shvua. No, if he would have said, I'm not going to drink any of these beverages, I would have thought that that means I won't drink any of these beverages on this table. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go home and have some honey on my own, or I'm not going to have a cup of Coke on my own just because this guy put it out here. But he's trying to say, I won't drink these types of drinks. Well, so then he said, I won't drink drinks like these, you know? That would have done it. Why does he have to spell out Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Schweppes, you know? So it must be that he means a special separate shvua. No, because if he would have said, I won't drink like this, I would have thought that it means I won't drink a cup like this. Now, I hate 7-ounce cups. If you're going to give me a 9-ounce cup, fine, that's at least a man's Coke. If you're going to give me a 5-ounce cup, so I'll take two of them and get a man's Coke. But I refuse to ever drink. I mean, I don't know what it means, you know? So maybe it means I won't drink anything like this, but it's in a smaller cup or a bigger cup. I mean, the guy's makpid on something. I'm supposed to know what he's makpid on. So he really, if he wants to make things clear, he's got to spell it out, because otherwise we could have thought anything. He knows that. Well, he could have said, I won't drink these type of things. Well, maybe that means I won't drink these type of things, but I'll drink these things. I won't drink these types. That's what it might have meant. Vedilmaminu, like these, lo shatino. But these things themselves, you know, hagufayu, I will drink. Well, then he could have said, I'm not going to drink these or any of their meaning. Why does he have to spell it out? So must be he wants to make a separate shvua with each dibur. Boy, I wish we had intelligent people like this today making shvuas that they won't drink Cokes. Ravaka bereda ravika amar. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you're right. It has to be context. But the context is not that they're sitting on a table. The context is that somebody is pushing him to come into the house and have a drink with him, right? So the guy says to him, listen, you know, I want you to really come in. I've been waiting for you to come in, and I've got all my homemade wines ready for you to taste. I got dandelion wine, and I got raspberry wine, and I got fig wine. I mean, you're going to really enjoy this time, not to mention the turnip wine. And the guy says, be darned if I'll ever drink any turnip wine, dandelion wine. Okay, folks, in that case, so then all he should have said is, I am not going to drink any of your wines, or I'm not going to drink with you. That's all he needed to say. So why does he have to actually spell out every different thing that he was invited? Invited isn't the word. I mean, he was being threatened for his life if he doesn't come in to drink with this guy. So that must be l'chayev alkol achas v'yachas. Okay, another possibility. Now, we know that we have the din of Shvuat HaPikadon, which we're going to be getting to later. And remember, Shvuat HaPikadon, that's basically the Shvuat Shvuah, what it's talking about over there, Shvuat HaDayanim, I should say, in which we have a Moed B'Miktzas, right? So a guy says, listen, you owe me X, and the guy denies owing him X, but he says, I owe you something else. So let's talk about, in terms of a Shvuat HaPikadon first. Tein li chitim, sorim, v'kusmim, sheyesh li biyadecha. So a guy says, listen, I gave you a lot of wheat and a lot of barley and a lot of spelt, give it back to me. So the guy makes a shvuah and he says, I never got anything from you. I don't know what you're talking about. So if he said, I never got anything, shvuah she'ein lecha biyadi klum, so then he is chayiv on one shvuah for kviras mamon, right? And in that case, when he admits that he was actually lying, so remember, there's a special asham that he has to bring, and he has to pay an additional chaymesh. That's the whole din that we had in ashames. Now, but suppose he says, I swear that you never gave me, or I don't have any more of your chitim, or of your sa'orin, or kusmim, then he's chayiv for three separate karban ashams. He's chayav on each one of them separately. Now, you can see how this is related on the surface to our sugya. So since he spelled out each one of them, so we consider, even though he only said the lashon of shvuah once, but we consider it to be a shvuah on each one of them individually. Now, Rabbi Yochanan said, and by the way, I mean, here we're talking about a pikadon, so that the shiur that's involved is a pruta, because if it isn't money, so then it isn't going to be b'chayiv you, a shvuah on kviras mamain. But that money could be a penny that is there from a cent of barley, and a third of a cent of wheat, and a third of a cent of kusmim, right? And it can all be mitzarev. Now, obviously, think about it for a sec. Rabbi Yochanan cannot be referring to the last cases in which if the person is chayav on each one individually, so he's chayav a separate carbon for chitim, a separate carbon for the kusmim, and a separate carbon asham for the denial of the sa'orin, right? Rabbi Yochanan never could ever possibly entertain the notion that if you've got three separate shvuas, each of which has a minimum share of a pruta, that you could put together a third of one, a third of the other, a third of the other, and equal one pruta. That's nuts. Nobody would say such a thing. So how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan? Well, there's two ways to understand Rabbi Yochanan. One way is that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to the first case in the Mishnah, where the guy said, Shvuah she'en lecha biyadi klum, eino chayav ela achas. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that achas could be even a tziruf of these three separate minim, and that, because all that we care about, if you're only chayav achas, all that we care about is the money. The money is a pruta, so if you could be mitzarif to pruta, I don't care what you were mitzarif it with, right? That's a very reasonable statement. Nobody's going to argue with that. The other way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan is to look at the second case of the Mishnah, which is what he seemed to be talking about. And it says over there that if you said Shvuah she'en lecha biyadi chitim se'orim or kusmim, then he's chayav al kol achas v'achas. Now the question over there is, when we say chayav al kol achas v'achas, how many total ashamot could he be chayav? Three or four? Because the question is, when you said the word shvuah she'en lecha biyadi, is that its own shvuah? And then when you add not chitim and not tzorim and not kusmim, those are three separate other shvuahs, which means that you made a total of four shvuahs of kviras mamon, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan could be referring to the shvuah haklalit that he first said, shvuah she'en lecha biyadi, right? So we don't really know how to interpret the Mishnah, and the way we interpret the Mishnah is going to be very significantly nogea what it is that Rabbi Yochanan meant, because Rabbi Yochanan would mean something totally different if, in fact, there was a shvuah klalit over here. That's the question. How do we actually read that? So that is a machlokas between Rav Acha and Ravina. One of them says, that you're only chayev three ashamot, four chitim, seorim, and kusmim. But you're not chayev on the general statement of shvua she'en lecha b'yadi. That's just an introductory clause for the closing phrase. Chitim, seorim, kusmim, right? Whereas the other one says, no, there's four separate ashamot. Shvua she'en lecha b'yadi, that's a statement, and that stands as a shvua. And then when you expand it to the details of chita, seori, and kusmim, those are three additional shvuas. And therefore, you're chayav four ashamot. Okay, so that obviously will have its implications for how to understand Rabbi Yochanan. Now, what would be the din over here? Hachamai, when we were talking about our case, of shvuas bitui, that I'm not going to be eating those three things, chitim, seori, and kusmim, is there first a general shvua that I'm not going to eat any of this, and then there's the separate ones? Do we view it the same way, that there might be four separate shvuas over here? What would they say? Would Rav Acha and Ravina argue in this case too? Amar Rava, what in the world are you talking about? How could it possibly be no gea over here, for God's sake? In that case, you're chayev on each one separately, because the din of shvuas hapikadon is, every time you say no, that's a new shvua, and you're chayev again. But in our case, you can't make two shvuas on the same thing. So in the event that there would have been one shvua klalit, that would have made the other three shvuas null and void, because you first said, I'm not going to eat anything. So then you already asked the other three. That's ridiculous. If you view it that way, then that means you would only be chayev one, not that you would be chayev four. So hachi hashta, what's the comparison of the cases? Ha'atam, where you're talking about shvuas hapikadon, there you're chayev on the klal and separately on the prat, because it's exactly the same as taking one shvua after another shvua after another shvua. Every time the guy says, I'm convinced you owe me that chitim. No, I swear I don't owe you chitim. I'm totally convinced you owe me that, and I'm totally swearing it. Every single time you'll be chayev again. I don't care if you do it 100 times. Over there, you can entertain the notion that there's a general shvua she'en lecha b'yadi, and then there's additional shvuas, not chitim, not kusmim, and so on. But in this case, hacha, if you hold that there's a general shvua up front, so then why in the world would you be chayev on the individual grains? You are mushbeva omeid, and once you're a mushbeva omeid, the next shvua would not be chal at all. So therefore, your question is ridiculous. Now, next case was, Shvua shelo ochal ve'achal ochlim she'enam ru'uyim la'achila, or shasa mashkim she'enam ru'uyim l'shtia, because the Mishnah said you'd be potter. Shvua shelo ochal ve'achal nevelot ve'trefot shkatzim v'rimasim, there you would be chayev, right? That's what you said in the Mishnah. Well, I'll go for kash, you're contradicting yourself. I mean, first you say that if it's not edible, then you're not over. Shvua shelo ochal, v'yachal ochlin she'enam ruyin la'achila, v'shata mashkin she'enam ruyin l'shtia, you're potter. Okay, so that should include nevelas, trefa, shkatzim, and those things are not edible. And then you turn right around and you say, shvua shelo ochal, v'yachal nevelas, trefa, shkatzim, v'ramasim, you are chayev. Now, what the heck is the difference between the ratio where you're potter and the sefer where you're chayev? Now, listen, guys, we know the answer to this question, right? Because we already discussed, remember before, we had the whole discussion about Rava, who says I won't eat dirt. What the relationship between a shvua that I won't eat and I won't eat dirt. And we tried to bring a raya from the Mishnah of Shkatzim Ramasim and so on. And we said there's an obvious difference. One of them is actually inedible. The dirt is inedible. And therefore the word achilo shouldn't apply to it at all. Masha inkein, the shkatzim v'ramasim may look very delicious, and they're certainly edible. It's just that good old Yakiva's lime is on top of it and is scaring you away. And therefore, it's a totally different situation. But the Gemara doesn't think of that answer now. It wants to arrive at that answer at the end. So it's looking for an alternative explanation of why things that are inedible and that are simply, I mean, they stink and they're completely not roi l'achilas adam, that then you would be potter because it's not called achila, but nevelot v'trefot, you would be chayev on. Why? Oh, well, that's simple. says the Gemara Halakasha, the Reisha would be talking about where a guy says, I won't eat. So I won't eat are the things that are normally he would think of as being a foodstuff. And the Seifa was a case where he said, I will not eat Neveleis and Shkatzim v'Ramosim. Huh? If a guy says Mepharish he won't eat Shkatzim, Ramosim, and Neveleis, there's no shvu at all because he's Mushba v'Yomid Mihar Sinai. He's not allowed to eat those things. So why in the world would there be a shvua? And the Mishnah says he's chayiv, so that can't be the case. So Rav, remember we had this before, that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, before the Gemara said Tarvayu, even though there were three, it was a little bit problematic. Over here, the Gemara doesn't say Tarvayu, so you don't have to worry your brain about it. All three of them say that what we're talking about over here is the guy included things that are mutter with things that are usher. So he says, I swear I'm not going to eat no meat, not kosher meat, not treifa meat, and so on, right? So over there, since it's an iser kolel, because he included things that otherwise would have been mutter, so memela, in that case, even though he was usher on part of it, but since the shvua is already chal on the things that were mutter, and he's kolel these other things with it, the principle of an iser kolel includes this. Now, please bear with me for a moment when I go over with you again the concept of Iser Kolel, because we're going to be going into it now in greater detail, and we need to fully understand what we mean. There's two types of Isurim that will be Chal, even if it's an Iser Chal al Iser. So the classic case is the Iser Kolel. The Iser Kolel is where something was usher to you before, and now it's not going to be more usher to you, but since it becomes usher to other people as well, so at that point, that new iser that ushered it to other people will also be chal on you. That is called kolel other people in the iser. So the iser is broader, okay? So what would that case be? That case would be, let's say, you had something that was usher, and it was only usher to you, and now it turns out to be Yom Kippur, and now it's usher to everybody because they can't eat. Or, so in a case like that, we're going to be kolel. It's going to be any new iser, which in this case is the iser of Yom Kippurim, is going to be chal on you. If you're kolel other things with it. So, for instance, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat anything, right? You're not allowed to eat anything, and until then, you only weren't allowed to eat nevelas. Now you can't eat anything. Again, the nevela itself is not being affected. Other things are being affected because of Yom Kippur. So now you can't eat anything. That is all kolel issues. There's another concept, which is called mosif. Mosif is where there's an additional iser on the very piece that was previously usser, so that it becomes more usser than it was. So, for instance, suppose you have an iser chelev. Now, that chelev, the moment the animal is born, it has chelev. That chelev is kosher for the mizbeach. That's exactly what you're supposed to put on the mizbeach, right? So it's usser on you, but mutter for the mizbeach. The moment that it becomes notar, let's say, brought it as a korban, now you left it over, and now the chelev is usser for the mizbeach. At that point, there's more iser, the more iser chelev than there was before. On the same piece. The same piece had an iser chelev to you, but not the mizbeach. Now that same piece has an iser chelev to the mizbeach also. That is called mosif iser in the chaticha, not on the person or on other things that now become usher to the person. There's a tremendous difference between an iser kolel and an iser mosif. The logical difference is quite clear. The logical difference is that if the concept of ein iser chal al iser means that something can either be defined as usher because of X or defined as usher because of Y, But what's the meaning of saying that it would be usher once it's usher on because of X, that now it's usher because of Y? That is a meaningless statement, because isser is isser. In this case, however, you cannot deny that the isser of Nosar to the Mizbeach is unavoidable, right? So you're going to have to say, you're going to have to say now that because it became Nosar, it's usher to the Mizbeach, correct? You can't deny, therefore, that this piece is Nosar. You see, if we were talking about something that was never mutter for you or the Mizbeach, and now it becomes Nosar, let's say it was Tame. So then we'll say, well, it's already usher. What's the point of saying it's usher again? But when it was usher to you because of Chelev, and now that Chelev is Nosar, what are you going to say? Well, it's irrelevant that it's Nosar. This piece is already usher. No, no, no. This piece is undeniably Nosar, because now it's usher to the Mizbeach, and before it wasn't. Well, once it's undeniable that it's Nosar, you can't say it's ridiculous, it was already usher, because we know that it is actually usher with Nosar. Masha Inkain, well, you're telling me, well, now all of a sudden all other foods are usher on me, so why shouldn't this food also be usher on me because of Yom Kippur? Well, what sense does that make? It isn't affecting the piece at all. This piece has no room for more isser. So who cares if other things are usher because of Yom Kippur? That's not going to change this piece. You see the difference. Why one is more logical than the other. So Isser Bosif is understandable in Isser Chal al Isser. Isser Kolel is only generally, you understand that there's place in the world for this additional Isser, but you still have to prove to me that this particular piece, which was already Usser, must also be Usser because this other Isser exists. Other things are Usser because of Yom Kippur. So you can't say Yom Kippur doesn't exist. I wasn't saying Yom Kippur doesn't exist. I was saying Yom Kippur doesn't exist in this piece. So there you have an argument against saying Isser Kolel. Now, so that serves as an introduction to the whole discussion we're going to have now. So Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan say that the issue over here was that he actually was Mefaresh, and that's the reason we're still sticking with that. That's the reason that the last case that says the Velos Retreifas is Usser, he was Mefaresh, and the reason that even though he was already Usser on those things from Har Sinai, why is he Usser with more? Because in this case, he said, I'm not going to eat any kind of meat, not kosher meat and not kosher meat. And therefore, once he's Usser on other meat, he's usher on other meat. There's no more isser on this piece of nevela. But once he's usher on other meat, so memela, we can't deny the fact that that other isser has a place to be chal. It's chal on kosher meat for him. Once it's chal on kosher meat, so it's also going to be chal on this piece of meat, which was previously usher. That's the logic of it. Reish Lakish says, no, 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 I don't believe in that. If you want to figure out a way that you insist on reading the Mishnah like that, and the difference between the first case where it's inedible and the second case where it's just usser is only the difference between adding things that are usser. You could, but not the way you've got it. It's not the Isser Kolel. Tell you what it is. You could be talking about a case where the Shvua specified that you are not going to eat the slightest amount of Nevela. Now, as far as the Torah was concerned, you weren't allowed to eat a kezias of nevela. Now you're making a new shvua on something that you were not mushba v'yomid mehar Sinai. This works out very well according to Reish Lakish, who holds that chatzi shir is not usher min ha-teira. And therefore, you never were mushba on har Sinai with the chatzi shir. So now you're coming along and you're saying, I won't eat anything. So now the chatzi shir becomes usher. Fine. So what's the problem? So you've got a case where you made a shvua on something that was inedible because it's a nevela, and it wasn't a shear that was also miniraisa, and therefore the shvua was chal. So, very simple case. Now, there's two elements that are possible in that case. If you're going according to Rabbanan, who say that when you normally make a shvua, you don't mean any amount, you mean a kezias, so then we'd have to be talking about a case where you specified, I will not eat even a tiny piece of nevela. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't even need that, because Rabbi Akiva, remember, he holds in the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, that any Shvuah automatically means any amount, right? So if he said he's not going to eat nevela, he meant he's not going to eat a tiny amount of nevela. But the Torah only answered him from not eating a gezias of nevela. That explains why, in that case, you were not mushba v'yamid me'ar Sinai, and therefore, if you specified, then you would, in fact, be chayev on nevelas v'treifas. Very simple. Okay, so i'ata motze, ela, either you specified chatzi shir according to the Rabbanan, or you didn't even need to specify, according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, a person is always asking atzma b'chol shuv. So everything is fine. No, it's not. Says Gemara, it's not fine at all. Because, first of all, I mean, I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to say like Reish Lakish's approach. Because Reish Lakish is not going to make it work out the same according to everybody. So there's two possibilities. According to Rabbi Akiva, it could be that he makes a Shua Stam. According to the Rabbanan, so then he would have to specify. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to get into that because now we're splitting the Mishnah up. Who's the author of the Mishnah? It's a different Mishnah depending on who said it. Rabbi Yochanan would rather give a very straightforward explanation. It's true according to everybody, in which he's kolol dvarim amutarim. He said, I'm not going to eat kosher meat and I'm not going to eat non-kosher meat. Fine. But why would Reish Lakish not hold of Rabbi Yochanan's approach, which seems to be quite clear? What about the kolol? Reish Lakish says, no. Kolel is not a custom-made thing. Kolel is where things happen to have worked out that way. Over here, you're setting up a situation by creating a tailor-made shvua to be able to answer something that was previously answered. That's not an Isser Kolel. So therefore, where do you say Isser Kolel? An Isra Bomei Elav, like let's say it's Yom Kippur, like the case we had. So it was an Avela on Yom Kippur, and now we're saying, okay, I mean, Yom Kippur, I didn't create Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a reality. And therefore, it's an undeniable reality, and it's going to be chal on these other things. But where you're trying to create that reality, that should be chal on other things, and therefore, because of your ingenious shvua, it's also going to accidentally be kolel these things, that's not called an Isser Kolel. Because the original impact of your statement was only on the things that were not previously also. That's all. Don't tell me that's kolel. Okay. All right. So now, according to Reish Lakish, I understand why Rabbi Shimon actually says that you're putter. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, we have a built-in machlokas. It's brilliant. What's Rabbi Shimon's halacha about kezayit? Remember before? Rabbi Shimon knows you don't need a kezayit. You can be chayev on any little amount, always. The only time the Torah mentions a kezayit is not in terms of the chiyav of malkot. It's only in terms of the chiyav of a karban. Oh, so no wonder he disagrees, right? Because the case that we're talking about is where he specified any amount. But he holds that any amount is also mushba v'amid me'ar Sinai. So specifying any amount makes no difference at all, according to Rabbi Shimon. So we have a beautiful built-in machlokas of the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon, which actually indicates that Reish Lakish is on the right track. Because by explaining the Mishnah this way, it's clear why it is that Rabbi Shimon will argue. But according to the way Rabbi Yochanan learns, let's just see that inside, because Rabbi Shimon patters the Tanya. Remember, we learned that Rabbi Shimon says there is no shir. Koshu, even your chayav amar comes to makas, the holding of the kezayis was only said to Gabi Korba. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, why did Rabbi Shimon argue? What do you mean? It works just as organically, perfectly, according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Because what was the reason Rabbi Yochanan said that you would be chayev on the velas? Because of Isser Kolel. Well, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Isser Kolel at all. So obviously it's just as organic to understand why Rabbi Shimon would disagree. This would be Rabbi Shimon l'shitato. Rabbi Shimon does not hold of Isser Kolel. It's a fisher brighter. Rabbi Shimon says, somebody eats an avela on Yom Kippur, he does not bring a korban chatas. Why? Because he wasn't also for eating on Yom Kippur. He was only also for eating a nevela. And a nevela is not an Isser Kares, and therefore there's no chiyav chatas. So there is no chiyav of Yom Kippur for eating a nevela. Incredible. So you think, oh my God, the guy's even worse. He's eating on Yom Kippur, and he's eating a nevela. No, he's actually only eating a nevela, and he's not eating on Yom Kippur. So that would make perfectly good sense, because according to him, once it was Usher as Nevela, it will not be Usher as Yom Kippur. Okay, so far, we've got two different ways of understanding the difference between the case in the Mishnah that talks about inedible things and the case in the Mishnah that talks about inedible because of Isurim things. And the second case, the inedible because of Isurim, was talking about Mefarish, and either it was Mefarish Chatzi Shir, which would explain the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabban and the Reish Lakish, or it was talking about where is Mefarish Dvarim HaMutorim together with Dvarim HaAsurim, and therefore it would also explain, according to those three Shitas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, why it is that Rabbi Shimon would disagree, because it doesn't matter, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're Kerlo Dvarim HaMutorim or Dvarim HaAsurim, because he doesn't hold that an Isser Kelel is at all relevant. According to Reish Lakish, remember, we saw that he agrees that there is a concept of Isser Kelel, but he says tailor-made Isser Kelels, which Shavuos, are not called Isser Kelels. They're just, we ignore the part that was usher before, but whatever you said is chal, and whatever can be chal. That's not like where something happens as part of an organic event. All right. To be continued tomorrow in ways that will allow us to see the importance of the difference between Isser Kelel, Isser Maisiv, which makes this stuff very, very fundamental across Shas, because we use those terms all the time. The Isser Kelel, it's good to see the differences between them, the logic that separates them, and the various shitas, the differences between Bechlal, Isser Kelel, Isser Maisiv, and the difference between tailor-made Isser Kelel, which is the way Reish Lakish views it, or the way we've been viewing it up until now. Rava views it that there is no difference. All right, that was wonderful fun. Of course, Richie is looking like he's in seventh heaven. He loves exactly these kind of dapim, and he'll probably be there early tomorrow just to make sure that nothing escapes his attention. And so we wish him a wonderful, wonderful Mitzvah Shabbos, and looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to an upcoming Rosh Chodesh, and to maybe some more fun shiurim coming your way. Stay tuned. We'll see you in the morning, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov, Shavua Tov.